Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
Brian Daboll.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
I'm so happy you guys are still alive.
I am excited.
I am so happy.
Laugh and learn every morning aboard the mothership.
Ooh. Have a good day.
Gonna be a good day with DA.
Hey, Doc.
I do love the Doc.
Happy being alive day.
Mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy being alive day, everybody. It's a thirsty Thursday. We are toasting to the good stuff. So let us know what it is that you're toasting to or who it is by tweeting at me, DA, on CBS on Twitter or on the phone. It's at 855-212-4CBS. Coming your way this hour in 20 minutes, we toast our good stuff. We'll do our Thirsty Thursday. And then also in 40 minutes, big injury in Tampa Bay. How does it affect the Buccaneers offense? That's coming up this hour here on the program. Also, the great Katie Linedahl, the Gidget of Gadgets, will be in studio coming up in hour number four. And the Sounds of Saturday, also hour four, will feature the Clemson Tigers, the voice of the Tigers, Don Munson. Sam Howell is getting some good reviews. The young quarterback for the Washington Commanders, Ron Rivera, the coaching staff there. Players within the Commanders organization have all been very high on Sam Howell, but that's their teammate, that's their guy, not all that surprising. Yesterday, though, was a little different, as Marlon Humphrey, corner for the Ravens, as they had joint practices, said, quote, he looked really comfortable. He's a second-year guy, but he looked comfortable back there at quarterback. That's from The Athletic. Sam Howell is an incredibly interesting story coming into this season, because Sam Howell probably does not register on most football fans' radar. Who's Sam Howell? Why should I care about Sam Howell? Washington's always bad. So what? And he had only one game last year, one start last year, the very end of the season. But from that moment on, after they had the disastrous Carson Wentz experiment, and they've been trying to find their guy for how long, though, after Kirk Cousins. They have finally made the decision end of last season. Howell's the guy going into 2023. And so he's been the anointed starting quarterback for 6 months now, without any challenger, any backup trying to chase down the job, any veteran there. This has been Sam Howell's job. And he can't even really lose it unless he gets injured. So, for finally somebody outside the organization to say he looks comfortable back there, that's good. Because, again, the people within the organization are going to say exactly what you think they're going to say. But Howell is super interesting in this way. In college, he was incredibly productive. Now, you probably didn't watch a lot of ACC football. You probably didn't watch a lot of UNC football. If you watched ACC football, it's probably Clemson, maybe Florida State, maybe Miami, but you probably didn't watch much North Carolina football. But at UNC, his first three seasons there, his only three seasons there, the numbers jump out at you off the page. Freshman season, he threw for 3,600 yards, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. That's his freshman year. Sophomore year, 3,600 yards again, 30 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. His junior year, his final year there, 3,000 yards, 24 touchdowns, 9 picks, but also had 800 yards rushing. So over the course of his career at UNC, he threw for more than 10,000 yards in 3 years, 92 touchdowns against 23 picks, and ran for another 1,017 scores on the ground. The stats were there. And the arm talent has always been there. The question has always been, can he piece it together? Can he put it together to be a quarterback and not just a gunslinger? Because the arm, that's pretty clear he's always had that. The production in college, he has that. But does he have the mentality? Does he have the polish? Does he have the maturity to become a franchise signal caller in the NFL? Sam Howell also, with those types of numbers, was supposed to be a high draft pick and instead slid all the way to the 5th round. So there were all types of GMs and executives who just did not want to stake their claim or their job to Sam Howell being the guy. You know, for Washington, getting him in the 5th round or anybody, you're not tied to this having to work or your job is on the line. But so Sam Howell could be a great stock that was bought on low. And we're not used to that narrative because it's Washington and they rarely, if ever, do anything very well. But Howell in this division is the least interesting quarterback because in Dallas, the pressure's always on Dak. In Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts, can he follow up last season going all the way to the Super Bowl? And in New York, Daniel Jones got a huge contract, and now people want to see if he can deliver. In Washington, it's just a second-year quarterback who's looking to finally be a starting QB without a lot of expectations nationally. But he does have the potential to be one of the most interesting stories in football because it's not like we haven't ever seen mid-round draft picks succeed. Dak Prescott's a good example of this. There are guys who you can find middle rounds for one reason or another that do develop into legitimate franchise QBs. Now, Dak has had his own issues, his own questions, but he's an everyday starting quarterback in today's NFL and has won a playoff game. Let's see about Sam Howell. I'm certainly not going to sit here and wave pom-poms just because Marlon Humphrey says he looks comfortable back there. But the first question, the first hurdle is, does a young QB in his first year at the helm as a starting quarterback look comfortable? That's the whole bit with Trey Lance. He doesn't. And if Sam Howell does, that's a good early barometer of what maybe he can bring to the table for Washington. He also benefits from this year, kind of a fresh start for everybody. New ownership, fans are back into it, they're invested, they want to be optimistic, they want to see the bright side after 20 years of hell through Dan Snyder's tenure. And so Sam Howell, I think, gets the benefit of a bit of a bump because that shroud of negativity has been released in Washington. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Daniel tweets, I'm giving a soda toast to my daughter who started 8th grade this week. Where did the time go? Hashtag, how did that happen?
Hashtag, toast them.
Booskies. Booskies.
Booskies.
Jeffrey tweets, DA, I'm toasting you guys. Admittedly, I've never been much of a college football fan, but your sounds of Saturday piqued my interest, so I'll tune in and watch more games this season. Hashtag Booskies! You know, with all these conference commissioners ruining the sport and making millions of dollars every season, where's our cut for actually making the sport better? I'd like to know that. Maybe we can get some new chairs in here, Pete.
We can't ask for too much.
Maybe we can sign an NIL deal, Pete, with a chair company so that we actually have chairs with armrests on them.
Yeah, I have one. So I'm like, I sit sideways here.
Or chairs that move, or chairs that you are actually comfortable to where you're sitting. I've been sitting in a chair that probably doesn't suit where I sit for the last 10 years.
What do you mean? Why is it uncomfortable?
No. Well, this one has no arms, like all of them. It's hard to go up and down with it, and hard to move around. You kind of need something that's a little flowy.
Yeah.
And it's very bulky and just plodding.
Let me ask you, what's your best theory on why none of our office chairs have arms, or some of them only have one arm?
The slow disintegration of our office chairs. That's my theory. All of our big asses sitting in the chair, you know, that's what's going to happen. We have Peter Schwartz and myself and all these other people around here. We're going to break a couple chairs.
I tell you what, I have definitely got one of the Riddity's armrests myself. So it's not a theory; it's actual fact.
Okay.
We're breaking these chairs.
So you were sitting in an office chair, and the armrest broke off.
Yeah, I was sitting in that office chair,
Pete
running
Bodies.
The board over on the weekend, and that arm came right off.
You were leaning on it.
Yeah, you know, because I'm thinking it's a functional chair that I think it will support my weight. You know, it was professionally built. Put my arm on it, boom, slid right through. I didn't exactly come off the top rope. I just sat down on the chair, and the arm popped right off. So I'm guilty of one of the arms. As for the other five, I don't know what happened to those, but I took care of one.
I actually had a pleasant surprise at my desk this morning. There was a leather chair.
Uh-huh.
I was very comfortable, but I knew it was out of place. I knew it was some boss's chair, had to be, because it was comfortable. It was nice and comfortable. It moved. It was flowy.
Usually when you walk into an office, there's uniform chairs. Everybody has the same office chair because you end up signing a deal with some type of office furniture company and everybody gets the same desk, everybody gets the same staplers, and everybody gets the same chairs. It is totally the opposite here. For some reason, we have 65 chairs and 45 of them are from different companies. They're all unique.
And they all don't match.
And so Pete and I were joking about this before the show, calling it the police auction.
Right.
There's 45 different style office chairs here.
Where's Lieutenant Murtaugh when you need him?
It's just so bizarre.
It is bizarre.
It's like they bought one chair at an auction and brought it in to replace it, and they do this periodically.
And it's been this way for a long time because back, I would say, even before the network—
More than 10 years ago.
Yeah, when we got to this building, there would be people that would have their own chairs, and they would roll them around. And I'm like, why are you rolling around your chairs? And then I'm realizing, I need my own chair, and I need to lock it up, and I need to roll it around.
Like it's a bike. We actually have to have like a bike right. locker for our chairs.
You know what? I'm going to put my chair in the bike locker. Let's see if that'll sustain.
Dan in Mechanicsburg is sending booskies to JR Sport Brief. A pleasant surprise hearing him on my way home from work yesterday. Could definitely get used to listening to JR at that time, and I missed Trash Tuesday, so trash Carlos for calling me a fraud at Bob's Bar for being a Cubs fan. Hashtag booskies!
Booskies!
Hashtag
toast them!
He added the hashtag, hehehe. Carlos, why did you call Dan in Mechanicsburg a fraud at Bob's Bar?
I'm going to be very honest. I don't remember that conversation whatsoever. I have no idea what he's talking about. I think I'm going to call him a fraud for making that up.
I guess he's a Cubs fan, and you said probably that you're a fraud Cubs fan because you're not from Chicago.
No, because I acknowledge that there are fans of teams that don't live in the actual cities. Like, you know, I'm still a Bulls and a Cubs fan, and I haven't lived in Chicago for like 16 years. So I get that. I don't know why I would have called him a fraud. I really don't remember him talking about that.
Well, what were you drinking at Bob's Bar?
I wish I knew. I drink brown. I know it was brown.
There's your answer right there, Dan.
You were drinking brown.
I was drinking brown. I mean, I think we've established on this show that I pick things revolved around colors. Like, I pick my team because I look better in blue over green. Uh-huh. I pick my drink because I'm like, all right, I like brown. I don't want clear. If it's clear, don't bring it here. If it's brown, drink it down.
That's interesting. So you're not a vodka or tequila guy?
No. And in fact, the very smell, it makes me nauseous.
From both of them?
From tequila especially. And it's a problem because my wife and her family are Mexican, and they're big tequila drinkers.
And so, you're Puerto Rican and no yep. rum?
I'm sorry? No, I like rum, but you know, because
that's clear.
There's also the brown rum. You know, I like me some, you know, like some 151. Just
tequila.
Don't let it near an open flame.
Tequila.
It's tequila.
Wow, so you drink 151. That is high octane.
I mean, that's if you're really trying to get thrashed in a hurry. Like, I got to the tailgate late. I need, you know, I need to catch up.
Yeah.
You know those situations. You know, you're a working professional. I'm like, all right, I want to enjoy this game. Tailgate started at 8. You're getting there at 11.
Cubs are going to lose everything.
Like the Mets. And you want to catch up. So, you know, take 252 or whatever 151 times 2 is, and you just drink that.
No, 151 times 2 is 302.
It looks like I'm a perfect fit for this chair.
It's definitely that chair. We got it. We got to get new chairs in here.
To be fair, I've never been good at math, so there you go.
Kid in Tuscaloosa at needs a role model tweets. Good morning, Mr. A. I'd like to toast the calming and steady presence of AB. He was the rock of the show during the recent mixes of on-air talent. Hashtag hero, hashtag crush.
Booski!
Hashtag toast him.
It's true. Bogus is a very steadying presence. He never is going to yell. He's never going to go crazy. He's predictably, emotionally stable.
I'm Andrew Bogus.
And that's what we needed around here. We needed somebody in the middle of all the chaos and craziness, the emotional ups and downs of Mraz leaving the chair and his send-off, his elongated send-off. We needed somebody to just take the reins and be like, okay, I'm the adult. This is how we're going to do things. Steady the ship here. And he did it. He did it great. He was wonderful. Now, I'm out next week. Is Bogues hosting next week?
I believe so, Monday through Thursday.
Okay. So basically, we're coming to the end of the vacation stuff because next week is my last week of vacation. And then the following week after that is the week leading up to Labor Day. So that's it. Once we get after next week, final week of August, all hands on deck, basically moving forward into football season.
Take a sip of that.
So after next week, you have survived. But, you know, we got Bogus back in the chair next week, which is awesome. And tomorrow, Caserta in the chair. So you get some unique voices and important voices around here over the next couple of weeks. I like the idea that Kid in Tuscaloosa, who Mraz thought he was being the role model to, actually looks up to Bogus.
Yes. <that's>
that Kid in Tuscaloosa's hero is actually Bogus, not Mraz.
It's such an inspiration that Mraz was. He made that kid like someone else.
When we come back, it's a Thirsty Thursday. Let's toast to the good stuff. D.A.C.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, Sports Radio.
We're toasting to the good life.
I feel alive.
We are feeling good and doing well.
How many beers ago?
probably 1,000.
It's the DA Show's Thirsty Thursday.
Celebrating with some booskies.
All right, it's all about booskies on a Thirsty Thursday, so let us know what you're toasting to. DA on CBS on Twitter or on the phones, 855-212-4CBS. Carlos with a K is your executive producer for the week. Carlos, lead us off. Who are you toasting to?
I am toasting to my wife, Daisy. Yesterday, I hit a wall when I got home. I'm talking about I just got slammed from all the week's activities. You know, real hard hat guy, doing a bunch of stuff this week. So I came in. I normally get there back to the house like 11:30 noon, prep for the rest of the day. I got home at 1:30. Felt very accomplished from all the morning activities. My wife saw that I was beat, ordered some Chinese food, took care of your boy, and I was able to get my strength and finish strong for the rest of the day. So, honey, I love you. Appreciate it. And toast to you.
Toast to Daisy.
Booskies. Hashtag toast 'em.
What was your Chinese order?
Oh, boneless spare ribs, pork fried rice, egg roll, wonton soup.
It's a good order.
And a Coke.
Interesting. So the boneless spare ribs were really the entree there.
The boneless spare ribs were the entree. And normally it's enough for, you know, I'll eat half the meal, put the rest aside, get dinner later. I smashed that whole thing. I got all my strength back.
Boneless spare ribs, pork fried rice,
yeah,
wonton soup.
Yeah, the wonton soup, I actually didn't expect. I don't think it was in the order, but the wife was just like, I know you like this. And she's trying to prep me, try for the Miraz roll myself and got me fatter and fatter.
Mm-hmm. Well, good job by her. I know you're up for the job, so anything that climbs you closer to Miraz probably is a good thing.
I don't know about that. Clearly, I can't do math, and I wanted to lose weight, but you know that didn't help me yesterday, but I really appreciate it for doing it.
Well, we have a Twitter handle that says Carlos is 100 pounds by the end of,
yes,
the, end of the week.
We will, by the end of the hour, yes.
Pete the Body, who are you toasting to?
I am toasting to my son, Timmy. It's his birthday this weekend.
Nice.
And my
How
kid,
old?
He's going to be three.
Three.
And my kids and my wife are my life. And I love him very much. He's a little under the weather, so we hope we can have his party. But toast to my son, Timmy, who's saying, let's go Mets. I'm trying to get him set up for misery in sports. So.
Oh, boy, it's a bad dad by you.
Yeah, but he's my buddy, and toast to him.
Nice. Booski!
Right on. Timmy Bilotti going to be three coming up this week.
Timmy!
I feel like he just turned two, Pete.
I feel like he was just born.
Yeah, wow.
That's crazy.
It's going so fast.
Man,
slow it down.
Slow it down.
Slow it down, baby.
I'm like Gronk, Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
Oh.
Speaking of which, you guys were talking about these chairs. You didn't mention how every time you sit in one, you get the billion farts that have been ripped into them. The cloud just like a smoke bomb just wafts up.
I mentioned Schwartz, so I thought that would relate.
Yeah, I think I sat in this before. I think I got a 2014 Schwartz fart back in my nose.
These chairs wretched. Are literally throwback Thursdays.
They're wretched. They really are. Pat Boyle, who are you toasting to?
I got a toast to Daddy Nolan. Christopher Nolan, just another cinematic masterpiece. I saw Sloppenheimer. Or Oppenheimer yesterday.
Sloppenheimer.
Yeah, I've been calling it that. I saw Oppenheimer yesterday, 3 hours.
Well, that would suggest that it was a bad movie calling it Sloppenheimer.
Other reasons that I'm calling it that.
I see.
Hey-o. But, no, 3 hours, it was long, but it was amazing. I mean, the cinematography was tremendous. I think he did a great job of telling the story of, you know, the father of the atomic bomb and how they kind of kicked him out of the scientific community afterwards. A lot of politics went into it. The arms race, the thing with the Soviets. Everybody's a communist. They're a communist. So I thought it was great, historical, exciting. Everybody's obviously interested in the making of the atomic bomb itself. I thought it was another brilliant movie. The one thing, I a little trash into this Thirsty Thursday. I went to the movie theater in Jersey City where you can't bring outside food into the movie theater, even though the food court's right next to the movie theater. So I tried to get Chick-fil-A and sneak it in. And of course, the hardo superhero that worked there was like, can't bring outside food in, man. So that was a waste of $6.
You could have taken to slam him. It?
No.
Get that guy a napkin.
You threw it out?
I had just eaten before. I really game planned the crap out of this thing.
Because it's 3 hours.
I had some Indian food right before, chicken biryani. Beautiful. I was like, let me get it. Let me get a chicken sando, just a Chick-fil-A chicken. maybe 2.5 hours in, right near the end, slam that, boom, and it was ruined.
Where were you hiding it?
I didn't hide it at all because my roommate got one too, and he's really the one that ruined it. If I just got the one sandwich, I probably could have just right in the pocket.
Yes, exactly.
But since there was a second sandwich, I should have gave him his to put in his pocket. I really didn't game plan it that great because we would have done that. So I had the bag, and I stood behind the two of them, just right in my left hand. And the guy who scanned our tickets didn't see it. But like I said, the superhero that was behind the desk, I guess taking orders at the desk, all of a sudden shot like a side look. Like he's like an FBI agent. You can't bring outside food in here. Ah.
Oh, and you had two chicken sandos for Chick-fil-A that you just had to dump.
Oh. It's a crime.
That's brutal.
I felt like a jerk after, but I told him, I was like, hey, man, hopefully they promote you from ticket scanner to popcorn scooper for snuffing that out.
Come on. No, you shouldn't feel like a jerk. You should feel like a hero. He deserved that.
That's you like
great.
That one, Pete?
Oh, yes.
Did you really say that?
Yes.
I said the same thing. That's ridiculous.
Because I try not to make a big fuss. I was like, dude, you're really breaking my chops. And he goes, I can't do it. There's cameras. I was like, look the other way. Is your manager, intently viewing the cameras right now to see if you're not letting people in with outside food?
And what'd you say?
And then he goes, can't do it, otherwise I have to escort you out of the theater. I was like, you're going to escort me out of the theater? He goes, no, we'd have a security escort you out of the theater. And I just gave him a thumbs up. I was like, hope they promote you to popcorn scooper for this one, pal.
I mean, there are levels to the job, so, you know.
I get it. I was that got me hot.
Well, I mean, there's also the part of this that you don't have a good strategy on this either. I mean, when he says to you, you can't bring it in, you should have walked back out.
Right.
And
say, I threw it out and then put it in your pocket
and come back in.
Yeah. Pretty simple fix.
For getting in your pockets, you can put them in your belt, like right under your belt around your waist as you walk through.
Yeah. It's a Batman belt. Junk department.
Right. You could throw them down your junk department, but I'm just talking about
you really want to eat it after that?
In the belt loop.
Oh, if it's
like,
in the box.
Right,
yeah.
In the waist.
Yeah. I mean, I really could have. I really could have just said, all right, man, I'm going to throw it out. Gave my roommate his.
Or say, I'm going to go eat it quick.
Yeah.
Damn. I
saw red. I got hot.
Now you know for next time.
I love that we're getting smuggling advice from DA.
Well, and I've smuggled.
Like, these guys are pirates of New Jersey bringing food across the border.
It's ridiculous. He bought a sandwich. He has to throw it out because some guy wanted to have $20 popcorn.
Well, I feel like he's kind of in the right. Boyle is, just because there's a food court directly outside of where the gate is. You know, if you were bringing like a sandwich from a deli, I'd be like, yeah, you're probably not supposed to do that.
And now they did have a big sign, no outside food or drinks. So I knew what I was walking into, and I still just thought, and I had it. I got him. I had him. We planned it. We stood staggered. I had it right here, the left side of the waist. And again, the hardo that was standing like 10 feet away doing like walk-up orders, walk-up ticket orders, all of a sudden shot like a side eye, like his senses went off, his spidey senses.
And
he's like, you can't bring outside food.
If I worked in the movie theater, I would purposely stay away from any of those confrontations.
Yeah, because what does it matter?
Right. Right. It doesn't matter. It's not like he's sneaking into the movie. You know, he's eating. You know, I mean, it's from a food court right next to the
exactly.
Food
court. And that that's like, okay, the rules / unspoken rules, unwritten rules of general society. It's like, yeah, I'm not supposed to bring an outside food or drink, but like, what are you? Are you the next CEO of AMC? You really care about losing $6? And then I'm not going to get a small popcorn for $12.50 because I'm bringing in a Chick-fil-A sandwich? Just look the other way, pal.
How much was your Oppenheimer ticket?
$21.
Whoa!
Saw it in IMAX.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've gone to a movie theater in like, I think I went once since COVID. So, I mean, before that, I thought they were like $15-$16 for a regular ticket. So $21 for the IMAX, to me, I felt that was normal.
Well, the point is that $21 for a ticket, they should let you bring in a $4 Chick-fil-A sandwich. $21 for a ticket.
Ridiculous. I would pay $21 to get the video footage of Pat reacting.
Cap actually is trying to acquire that right now.
Oh, please, Cap. I'll give you $21 if you could get it.
Yeah, so I kind of felt like a jerk afterwards, but also, like, just did you work for AMC?
All right, I am toasting to coolers of ice. It's the end of the summer. I had my parents come over for a little barbecue the other day, and I was like, let's just get a bag of ice. Make sure that cooler is, because my dad likes to keep beers in the fridge. I'm like, it never gets cold enough in the fridge, Dad. Let's get a cooler. We got the cooler already. Let's get the ice. All right. And my dad, okay, fine. So get the ice. Make sure the beer's at the bottom. Put the ice on top. Suddenly, he's taking beers. And he's like, man, these are really cold. I go, I know, Dad. You got to keep them on ice. And when you open that thing up, even the next day, and there's still ice in there, and there's a beer or two at the bottom, and you're like, oh, this is so much colder and frostier than your fridge beer. The end of the summer, it feels like it's a small victory. You're like, I got a victory today. That's a dub. That's a dub for me. So give me a big cooler of ice. That's my
Booski.
Hashtag toast them.
Hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Steven in South Carolina toasting his 8-year-old daughter, who got up yesterday and saw her baby brother, 10 months, was awake while we were not yet awake, and she went and cooked him eggs for breakfast, fed him, toast her.
Hashtag toast him.
A 10-month-old eating nice eggs. That's good.
It's good eating.
Good eating. Steven in South Carolina also says, P.S., this is for Pete the Body, go Braves.
Get lost. Get lost. I'm changing my toast
to Steven, South Carolina.
I can't wait for that divisional round elimination.
Charles tweets, toast to iHeart for helping me find a radio station to listen to like this one that doesn't suck. Toasting.
Booskies.
To that. And Dixie Landan says, I'm toasting to the last day of low 80-degree weather. This is the weather I need. After today, there isn't a day below 95 for a while. Get me to late October, big-time college football, a nice bourbon in hand with a hoodie and a fire on the porch. Hashtag thirsty trashy.
Hashtag toast-o.
Booskies.
Oh, the two, I think.
All right. Thirsty trashy.
Thirsty trashy.
I kind of did that. Thirsty trashy.
Yeah, you did a thirsty trashy. Brian Daboll.
Brian Daboll.
I feel like Pat might take that approach if he was being interviewed by a female journalist to speak in some type of sensual voice.
Yeah.
You should have done that for your other interview.
What other interview?
The interview for this. He's like,
AMC.
Just imagine me in this chair. What I could
for
bring.
The job.
The epic fail.
You wanted me to do that to Pete?
Or like, bring the chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
I'll get you the job.
That would have been the play. Now, Pete, imagine nice Chick-fil-A sando on your desk every morning. Pickles dressed oh so finely underneath that sweet, warm, toasty bun.
Brian Daboll.
Chicken fried at golden crisp perfection. The finest side dipping cup of Chick-fil-A sauce.
Would both of you guys who applied for the job be willing to bring in Pete Chick-fil-A breakfast every single day?
Whatever it takes.
To get the job.
Chick-fil-A has breakfast?
Yeah. Yeah. Delicious.
I think Carlson's already brought it in.
It's chicken on biscuit.
Oh, baby.
And they also have Chick-fil-A minis.
Everybody does breakfast now.
I know. So you'd be willing to bring in Pete breakfast every day for the job?
Yeah, sure.
Now Pete notices who didn't hesitate.
We haven't even got to the next round.
Yeah, not.
This is the
still haven't talked to anybody
with the talking dragon.
I think I forgot who we talked to.
All right, Pat Boyle has headlines.
Forgot who we talked to.
That makes you especially feel better,
that,
huh?
Especially that first guy.
How do you feel, guys, about your chances?
Jeez. All right. The most exciting play in baseball last night at Petco Park.
Tatis hit third, two outs. Fernando takes off. He's going to steal home without a play. Straight steal of home. And Perez never knew. Oh, boy, he's something else.
Yes, he is. Jesse Agler, Padres radio. Tatis took his lead from third. Then he jogged. Then he sprinted home while Cionel Perez was taking a nap on the mound. steal of home without even a throw. That's how easily he took it. Blake Snell was sharp again. Padres take the rubber game from the Orioles with a 5-2 win. They're running out of time to make a run, but maybe that's a start for them. Elsewhere in the big leagues last night, Yankees have now gone 18 straight innings without a run.
Oh.
Braves shut them out 2-0 for the sweep. Back-to-back shutouts to cap off a series where they outscored the Yankees 18-3. Good old Charlie Morton with 10 strikeouts across six innings.
Uncle Rufus.
Uncle Rufus. What do you think of him? What do you think of him, Carlos? He's got like a 3.6 ERA. Would that be good enough for you if Kyle Hendricks had that?
Better than four. Kick rocks.
Dude, I mean, he's literally been one of the most integral Cubs in the last 20 decades, and you have the audacity as a quote-unquote fan to strike him down.
Yes.
Because he pitched bad when you happen to see him.
What have you done for me lately?
Yankees now under 500 for the first time in August since 1995.
Are you doing theater tonight?
Are you doing theater? Is the embargo over, by the way, D.A.?
We're allowed to talk about the teams of New York, Yankees, Mets, Giants, Jets. We just don't talk about the radio station.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the embargo. Well.
So that was the addendum to the embargo.
The podcast?
No. Just what you just said.
Oh, well, that's the hook to my New York-centric podcast. So we don't talk about that either. So we're basically not talking about any content that emanates from New York.
The embargo has had 7 iterations.
The embargo has had a lot of different moving definitions, but I think we have to be able to talk about the teams that play there, or else I don't think we'd be doing our job.
Play it by ear.
And maybe if the Jets didn't get Aaron Rodgers this summer.
Yeah, we could.
Exactly. You could have gotten away with that a little longer.
Once the Jets got Aaron Rodgers, the embargo had to end. Didn't make much sense.
Meanwhile, for the Astros, you get a home run, you get a home run, and you get a home run. That was the case in the first inning last night in Miami. Bregman, Tucker, and McCormick all went deep in the first inning. Off Marlins starter Jesus Luzardo, Astros crushed the fish 12-5 in the rubber game. And finally, in case I didn't give it enough attention last hour, the show in Texas.
There's a high fly ball, left center field, struck pretty well. Tavares back at the wall, it is gone. Shohei Ohtani has reached number 42, and the hair flies around the bases with Shohei as he gives the Angels a 1-0 lead.
How many people, Pete, do you think pick up on you subtly dropping that John Sterling getting hit with a foul ball every time?
Every time.
I don't know.
I noticed
I'm not playing anything. That's actually cool.
You are.
Yeah. I think some do, but some must just be like, wait, what was that? Was that the announcer getting hit in the middle of a home run?
It happens. I mean,
how did that happen?
Fans trying to catch the ball. It happens.
The press boxes are in center field now. I don't know if anybody noticed the change.
Yeah, right.
That was Wayne Randazzo, TV call, Bally Sports West. Ohtani's helmet fell off as he launched his 42nd home run of the year. That gave Reed Detmers all he would need. He took a no-hitter into the eighth inning. Angels blanked the Rangers 2-0. They're still 7 games back in the wild card standings, though. NFL news, another exciting twist in the Jonathan Taylor saga. The Colts' disgruntled running back left training camp again yesterday. The team released a statement saying it was an excused personal absence and didn't involve his current contract status.
No, of course not. Totally coincidental.
Yeah, then he's going to come back as a general manager. This has been a very weird case that this has turned into.
I got a question that he remains on the physically unable to perform list, better known as the
pup list.
There you go, the pup list. Did they trade him this late? Does anybody give up anything to trade for him?
No, they're not trading him. They're not trading him.
And team is trading for him, considering they don't know what his ankle looks like,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, the physical part of this is what he's not desirable, but also the Colts have no interest in trading him.
If he was, he could have played this so much better, and I feel like he is getting dogged along with most of the running backs, but also, you can't really request a trade when you're not healthy.
Yeah, when
you're coming off of ankle surgery.
Yeah, exactly.
Dog! Speaking of running backs, the Patriots officially signed Ezekiel Elliott right before the Jets finalized their deal with 4-time Pro Bowler Dalvin Cook. I mainly just wanted to talk about that because we got the cutoff sweatshirt to speak yesterday. Here's Bill with riveting stuff as usual.
Good to have Zeke. Yeah, we had a good visit with him, and I look forward to working with him.
What does he bring to the team?
Well, we'll see. Yeah, I've never coached Zeke before, but glad we have him.
I'm surprised when they asked him what does he bring to the team that Belichick didn't say, legs, arms,
kind of did. A warm body.
Actually, would have been more if you said that.
You think so?
Yeah.
He goes, I've never coached him. So we'll see. You guys watched him in the league for the last 5 years. Finally, we got the news on Tuesday that Colts' fourth overall pick, rookie QB Anthony Richardson, will be the starter for them to open the season, something he was totally shocked about. Yesterday, though, more of new head coach Shane Steichen, this time with an interesting quote.
You see the upside on film. It just jumps off the tape. And, you know, you watch the tape in the draft, and it's like, holy smokes. Like, there ain't many guys that can do the things he's doing. So let's roll.
Holy smokes.
I got to be honest. I think this kid's being set up to fail miserably.
How so?
I don't think they're a good team. They're not a good team. Their offensive line is not even close to what it used to be. Again, who is their running back? Taylor's hurt. Moss is hurt. You're going to have a, you know, seventh-round undrafted rookie. That wouldn't make sense, seventh-round undrafted. Have an undrafted running back basically, you know, plugging the holes there.
And he's also incredibly raw, did not start a lot in college.
And made a ton of turnovers at Florida. I get it's the SEC, but, like, you know, there was a lot of tape on all the negatives about him. Very early on.
Yeah, 58% completion percentage. Yeah. Like, isn't one of the jobs of quarterbacking throwing the ball?
Like, it's a risk to start Bryce Young day one and hope that it doesn't break him for the rest of his career. It's an even more massive risk. And Bryce Young played on a national championship team at a championship level for multiple years, carried his team, had a lot of starts, coached by Saban, etc. Anthony Richardson has none of that. Zero. And they're going to start him from day one. I know. Good luck.
Go ahead, Pete.
But wouldn't it be the scenario that the Colts presents? Wouldn't it be a good time for him to get the reps? Because they're not going to compete. They're probably not going to compete for a division title. They're in it, as we've talked about. This might be the time for, hey, let's see what we got and give him the time to get some reps in. But, instead of holding a clipboard.
But that's just basically hoping that being on a bad team with a rough offensive line, losing, throwing interceptions, doesn't break him. And that happens to a lot of young quarterbacks. If they have no success early or failure early, they don't know how to recover because they never built their fundamentals.
So you've
got to hope that he's one of the rare cases that can play on a bad football team and make a lot of mistakes and overcome all that.
Yeah, you better hope his confidence is through the roof. You better hope you have somebody, you know, team therapist or somebody just like – soothing him every day because it's going to be bad. You said 58%. I think that was his career, Carlos. He had a 54% completion percentage last year at Florida. So now you're going to take a guy who's inaccurate, whose decision-making was very questionable, and now you're going to throw him into NFL defenses with a wide receiving core of, you know, Michael Pittman's pretty good, Alec Pierce, and Kylan Granson's their tight end, Mo Alley Cox. So
yeah, they're going to win four games.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they'll win
now,
four games.
He might run for a lot of yards.
But, and here's the thing, D.A. So you're going to take a guy whose decision-making and throwing decision-making is not great, and then you're going to say, okay, just run for your life, and you're going to hope he doesn't get injured?
So you got to hope he doesn't get injured. That's another big risk here. And this is a young man that, you know, like, let's just say they're a two-win team in November, and he's taken big-time hits. He's thrown a bunch of bad interceptions. You've just got to hope that he keeps able to, like, forget, and stay healthy. It's a lot to ask. I wouldn't do it. All right, thank you, Pat. When we come back here on the show, big injury in Tampa Bay. We'll stay in the NFC South after the discussion of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback situations. Now, how about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver situation? We'll talk about that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, a thirsty Thursday to you. Injury in Bucs camp yesterday. Joint practice with the New York Jets and wide receiver Russell Gage went down. Season-ending injury. So he was carted off, an emotional scene. But Russell Gage was going to be the number three wide receiver in Tampa Bay behind the Pro Bowlers Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And now he is done for the season. So what does that mean for the Buccaneers? Well, it might not mean all that much. I mean, number one, he was a third wide receiving option. And number two, last year was kind of a disappointing season for him. He signed a big free agent deal before last season. They only got 50 catches and about 450 yards out of him. So they expected more. He was also missing a lot of camp in the offseason due to injury. So actually, youngster Trey Palmer had kind of moved up, and he was battling for that number three wide receiving role. So it's not an enormous loss for the Buccaneers based on what he did last year or didn't do last year and the fact they have Trey Palmer kind of hot at his heels. I think the bit of it is, though, that for the Buccaneers, what's this offense really going to look like at the quarterback position to try to get the football to these guys? Because Evans and Godwin are obviously playmakers, and maybe Palmer develops into one as well, but they've got to depend on Kyle Trask or Baker Mayfield to get them the football. And on top of that, Todd Bowles, who has massive question marks as a head coach, trying to make sure he steadies the ship. And last year, you know, obviously it seemed like Tom Brady was a coach, if not the coach. And now without Brady being there, what does it really look like? I think this Buccaneers team is going to struggle, even in a very loose division. The Saints are pretty good. I think the Panthers are clearly in the middle of a rebuild. And now you're looking at a Falcons team that also is okay. I don't think they're going to be really good. I know some people think they're a sleeper. I do not. And then you have the Buccaneers. Trask is inexperienced. Baker is limited. I think there's going to be a lot of frustrating days for both Evans and Godwin when Baker Mayfield throws four balls into the defensive lineman's hands and Kyle Trask throws him into the dirt or throws him into a cornerback's hands. I think there's going to be a lot of frustrating days for this offense, for this head coach, and for these talented wide receivers. This is going to be, I think, a rough Bucs season. But Russell Gage going down yesterday, done for the year. When we come back here on the show, Dion has fisticuffs at Colorado Buffalo's camp. He wants more. It's coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.